Lord God, that there's been already been repentance, God, and there's already been reconciliations. There's already been a move of your Spirit that has happened in this place, God. That you've already been awesome in this place. God, that you've been going to and fro through this service. And you've been touching people in their seats, Lord, standing where they are. You've been touching them. And that, Father, you've already done something. Something no word I have ever or could ever speak could do, God. That Father, there was a pressing through and a pressing in that was happening. That there was a reaching out that was happening, Lord. And that you met some people right where they are. And so, Father, I acknowledge your Spirit and your power and your presence in this place. Remove your hand from this service, from these people, God, in this moment, in this place. That, Father, your Spirit would remain. And that, Father, for the coming moments, Lord, that Spirit would continue to move and to touch, Lord. That Spirit would be upon the word that is spoken, Lord, that it would be upon the hearers and the seers, God. And that anointing would be upon everyone here, that they would hear what your word says today. And that, God, as I speak, Lord, Father, my wish is only to be your vessel, God. I don't want or need fame or notoriety or anything to be said of how great I am, God. I want only it to be said how great you are. So, Father, could I have the anointing from you, God? I know it comes from you. To speak your word today to your people. Oh, Father, that it could just be a continuation of your Spirit in this place today. Father, I thank you. Yes, God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving in our midst. You are awesome in this place, God. Church, you may be seated. Oh, Lord. 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 James 1:19, last week of James 1:19. I was accused of attacking last week. It was not an attack. James 1:19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We've already talked about being quick to listen, quick to hear. We talked about how important that is and how significant it is and how necessary it is for us to be quick to listen. And even mentioned, you know, the old saying of us having a 2 ears and 1 mouth, which means we should listen twice as much as we speak. And I believe that's always true. We should always listen way more than we speak. But then we also talked about last week, we talked about how we should be slow to speak. And how we need to slow down rushing into answering questions and rushing into answering people and rushing into giving people our opinions. Our opinions are often unnecessary, unneeded, and quite often, to be perfectly honest with you, we don't have all the information. And when we rush in to give somebody the advice that we think they need, quite often they don't need our advice. And I even mentioned, you know, some of us argue with two-year-olds. And I think that's where I got accused of attacking. But it's fine. We talked about last week how slow is pro. That saying in the boating world that slow is pro. And I think that applies to this message today about being slow to anger. Slow is pro can absolutely be applied to slow to anger. Because some of us are way too quick to be angry. And way too quick to be angry about nothing. And I'm going to be really honest with you. Because this week, I guess it really started a week ago Friday. Some of us, if you pay attention to social media and some things, some of us, including myself, could easily have gotten away from the idea of being slow to anger because there was a men's conference a little over a week ago in Missouri, and some things happened, and everything went kind of crazy for the last little over a week. And it was really easy to get angry one way or another. And in some ways, rightfully so, but probably not as angry as some of us got. And I really felt the Lord speaking to me in the process of going through some of those things and having conversations with people that I know, some pastors that I know and love and trust, to maybe slow down and maybe let's get some more information. I think that's an important and vital thing for us to hear, that we need to slow down and gather more information before we allow ourselves to get angry. Because quite often, things may not be as they were reported to us. A friend of mine has told me for years, he said, I don't receive secondhand criticism. You want to criticize me? Criticize me face to face. Don't come to me and say, well, this person I know is frustrated with you. This person that I know thinks you need to do this, or this person that I know thinks you need to do that. I don't receive secondhand criticism. Sometimes we do this trick, okay? Not accusing anybody, I'm not pointing any fingers, but sometimes we go to somebody and we'll say, well, someone I know is angry with you. It's not somebody you know. I mean, you know yourself and you're the one that's angry with them. But you say, somebody I know is frustrated with this. We play these little games of, we don't want to tell you that we're mad or we're angry. We just want to, but we want you to change. We want you to fix it. We want you to adjust your behavior. Right? And don't think that the church world is immune to this. Well, some people in the church think we need to change the songs that we sing. Some people in the church think you need to change how you preach. Some people that are in the church have been talking and, you know, they need to change the time of the service or the color of the building or the color of the carpet or this or that or whatever. Because we don't actually want to confront. One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever heard was actually relayed to me from a friend who told me his pastor told him that he's never regretted a difficult conversation he's had. But he's regretted a million that he didn't have. We need to be willing to have those difficult conversations. What you're going to find is those difficult conversations are going to actually prevent some anger. Those difficult conversations are going to help you get through some things. But some of us have a tendency to not want to have those difficult conversations because we know they're going to be difficult. Slow to anger is having that difficult conversation. Slow to anger is taking the time to pray about and think about the conversation that you want to have and that you need to have, and not rushing to have a conversation that if you rush into it, you're way more prone to hurt feelings and hurt people if you rush into those conversations. Slow to anger and slow to speak work hand in hand together. And slow to anger, the church has really, I love James because he's really trying to get through to the church. This is something essential for the church. How many church problems could be avoided if people were a little slower to get angry? Because pastor said something and they think that, you know, pastor knows something that's going on in their life, and so, you know, there he was talking to them. Well, he's smiling now, Jeremiah. Slow to anger is hard for some of us. Some of us are a little more, what would be the word? Passionate. That's a good word. Passionate than others. So some of us are a little more, I would say emotional, but some of you would misinterpret what I mean by emotional. But you're just more prone to getting that letting that passion come out in your conversation, in your words, even in how you communicate, right? Some of you communicate like this, right? You're just, it was over there, and we went here, and it was like, oh, she's in the nursery. Yes. Okay. Tammy used, I've told some of y'all this before. She had a license plate made for the front of her car at one time, and it said Mrs. Rev. And then she was sitting at a stoplight behind somebody, or sitting at a stoplight, and somebody cut her off or whatever, and she's like, you know, some of you do this. Don't look at me funny. Some of y'all are that. And then she remembered, it says Mrs. Rev on the front of my car, right? Do you look at her car? It doesn't say Mrs. Rev anymore. It's just like, so some of us are that way. Some of us are, that passion, that emotion comes out even in when we're talking and how we're talking. And we, slow to anger means that you bless the person that just cut you off. And you mean it. Not that southern thing that we, oh, bless their heart. Right? Not that kind of, but where you say, you know, Lord, bless them. I hope they get where they're going safely. I hope they're early. I hope they have no flat tires. I hope their engine runs well. Oh, God, if there's a problem with their car, Lord, heal it by your power. You know, just really, that slow to anger, when you start to change how you respond to things, it changes how angry that you get and how quickly you get angry. It's a process. It takes effort. It takes effort for some of us. And that's okay. You know it's not a bad thing to have to put effort into something, right? Life's not always easy. Change is really hard. Change is really, really hard. But change is necessary. We're born and we're sinful. From the beginning, we're sinful. Change is hard. When you've done things a certain way for so long, change is difficult. But difficult does not mean unnecessary or unneeded. It just means you're going to have to put work into it and effort into it. Changing your habits, changing your ways, changing your diet, changing your soda intake, changing certain habits that you've had. It takes effort. It takes effort to train yourself not to become angry. Quite often, if we would learn to be slower to anger, we would quite honestly find a lot of the things that we get angry about are really not things at all. There's really not that much to it if we stop and take a moment. And sometimes the things that, or the people that make us angry don't even know they've made us angry. They don't even know. You're not even in their thought process. They're just dealing with something else. Proverbs 19:19. We're gonna read a little bit more from King Solomon. It says, "A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you will rescue him, you will only have to do it again." How many times do we see somebody that gets angry and we try to help them and calm them down, and then it's like you feel like you just turn your back on them and they're angry again? If you have little kids, you've dealt with this, right? You get a situation calmed down because this one took this toy from this one, or this one hit this one over the head with this thing, and it's like you get them calmed down and then you turn away and they're angry again. Right? And I wish adults weren't that way, but sometimes we're that way too, because some of us just allow that passion and that emotion and that frustration to just come out. And sometimes you feel like you're constantly putting out those fires. Solomon said there's a man of great anger will bear the penalty. He's going to deal with the consequences of it. And if you keep bailing them out, you're going to keep dealing with the consequences too. I wish we weren't that way, but I share that because some of us need to realize that we're our own worst enemy when it comes to our anger. Because we allow ourselves to get really angry about things that honestly are not that big of a deal so often. And maybe if we don't rush into a situation, maybe that anger won't burn us too. That person will deal with the anger. They're going to deal with it. Sometimes we need to let them deal with it so that they can learn from it. We get so busy trying to run in there and stomp it out that we catch our own pants on fire. And we're trying to stomp out our own pants or our own shoes or socks or whatever. How many of us know someone that just seems to constantly get themselves in trouble because of their anger? Just constantly. Like, got this problem with this person. Then we got this problem with this other person. Then we got this problem with this other person. And there's one common denominator, but we can't figure out what the common denominator is. Well, I go here and I have a problem with this person. I go here and I have a problem with this person. I go here and I have a problem with this person. Well, those are all different people, right? Yeah. I don't know. I have problems everywhere I go. I think I know the problem. Proverbs 15:18. I swear, it's like James had read Proverbs. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. When we're slow to anger, when we don't jump in and get angry with them, you know? You have that friend who calls you because they're mad at their boyfriend or their spouse or their boss or their coworker or whatever, and they call you because they just want to tell you and vent to you, and when you don't match their energy, then that conversation ends really quickly. Because you're not, yeah, oh my goodness, I can't believe them. What a jerk. How terrible. Well, you just need to, oh boy, those are my favorites. Well, you just need to tell them. Well, you just need to go over there and you just need to, No. How many disputes can we stop with just our response? We're not even involved in it. But how many times can we help calm something with the way we respond to it? Right? I used to, this is the way I operated when my youngest lived at home still as a teenager. Okay? Because he, she's still in here, right? Okay. I'm trying not to make her angry and deal with that. But her and our youngest have similar personalities. And you know similar personalities clash, right? And so they would be, and then I would step in the middle and say, okay, go to your corners, you know. You go to your room, you go to our room. And then I would go to the son, and he would say, every time, you're just going to take up for mom. No, not just going to take up for mom. I would share with him a different perspective. See it from mom's view, and let's talk about that. And we'd talk about it, and then he'd be mad at me because I'm just defending her. Then I'd go to her, and I'd talk to her and say, hey, you know, you need to see a little bit from Josh's point of view, and then she'd be mad at me. So now I've created a common enemy, and they can get along now because they have a common enemy. It's me. It's okay. Right? But the slow to anger calms a dispute. I'm okay if they're both mad at me. They're going to get over it because I'm nice. But when they're mad at each other, there's no peace in the house. But when they're both just mad at me, I'm okay. I don't really care. They can both be mad at me. Matching someone else's anger with your own anger is never going to calm a dispute. It's just not. Can I say, without getting involved into anything political, if we could figure out how to do this, the whole political environment would change. Can I say that if we could learn to do this in the church, the whole church environment would change? Church splits are no longer a thing. Church issues and church problems are going to go away. When we can learn to do this and not try to match the anger with anger and try to learn to be slow to allow ourselves to get angry, and then everything's going to change. And you can calm so many disputes by just being calm, by just not getting into the fray when you don't need to be there. James, I think, had learned and read and studied from Solomon, because they're so similar to me. James 1:19 and this proverb is so similar to me James had to have known. Sometimes when you don't match someone else's anger with your own anger, it just takes all the steam out of the problem. It just releases all of that pressure and everything changes. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Never, never is anger necessarily a sin. How you respond in your anger is where sin comes in. There's righteous indignation where we can be upset about something because we are spiritually offended by what's happened. I can tell you 100%, watching the video from the men's conference a week and a half ago, there was righteous indignation that rose up in me. 100% righteous indignation. I was offended by what was done. And the worst part was that the person that called it out, I got righteous indignation against that guy too. So I'm like, I don't know where to go with this. Because this was offensive. but this person is offensive. And it's like, I don't know what to do. So I just thought, you know what? Whoop, this is me. I'm out of it. I'm not getting involved. So many Facebook posts I wanted to make, so many things I wanted to share, so many people I wanted to tag in things, and I got friends on Facebook who are sharing this and that and this and that and this and that. Oh yeah, there's all this just chatter going back and forth. All of this bickering going back and forth. Well, this guy, oh yeah, I'm out. I need to remove my phone. That's called wisdom. Not that I'm smart, but that God speaks to me and says, hey, that's not your fight. What are you going to prove? Who are you going to win to Jesus? Are you really change their mind, change their opinion by sharing some clip of some other person who shared their opinion about some other thing? Man, ain't winning no battles that way. You're creating more enemies, creating more strife, creating more problems within the church, creating more issues between you and other people or other people and other people. Can I tell you a secret about anger? Sometimes we think we're angry about something, but really our anger stems from an expectation of perfection. Because we expect someone to do a certain thing or act a certain way or say a certain thing. And when they do something different than what we expect or think that they should do, it makes us angry. And it really boils down to, we expected them to act perfectly. We get mad at our kids when we tell them to clean their room and we walk in and they shoved everything in the closet. Or under the bed. We get mad at our spouse because they didn't load the dishwasher correctly. Nobody's ever had that argument, right? Didn't wash the clothes right. Didn't separate them the right way. Didn't sweep the floor the right way or vacuum the right way. I got some heads nodding and some. We expect things to be done the way we want them, but yet we're not very good at communicating exactly how we want them. And when things aren't done the way we want them to be done, it makes us angry. Because we think they should have just known how to do that. Or that's the way we treat them. Well, you don't know that's the right way to do it? Well, that everybody knows that. Maybe everybody in the house you grew up in. But I didn't grow up in your house. I grew up in my own house. In fact, I was kind of raised by wolves, right? I didn't really have a lot of people at home showing me how to do things. I had to figure it out. I started cooking my own meals in the second grade. Older brother moved away. I was still hungry. I still got hungry. And mom's at work. So if I wasn't at a friend's house, whose house I was at a lot, because his mom could cook, I told him, I saw him recently. My oldest friend, like my from first to third grade, if you were looking for me or looking for him, you had to look for the other one because we were going to be together. I told him, I said, if it hadn't been for your family, I would have eaten a lot of times. And they never complained. His mom almost expected it. Seth was going to be there for. And if I wasn't there, I had to figure out how to cook. I ate a lot of hot dogs and a lot of macaroni and cheese and a lot of frozen dinners. And I'm sure they were half frozen part of the time and burnt the other part, you know, just. But I ate. I survived. I'm still here. Praise the Lord. I don't know if salmonella wasn't a thing back then or I was just a kid and I don't know. I don't know. And maybe it was just all God's plan, whatever. But so often, we get angry because we expect someone to act the way we expect them to act. And when they don't, then we're angry. When it was our expectation that they didn't meet. But we didn't tell them what our expectation was. So many, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not naming names, and I'm not, I'm going to look at the floor so nobody thinks, well, Pastor was looking at me when he said that. So many marital problems can be avoided if we just learn to communicate our expectations, and if we just learn that people aren't always going to meet our expectations, but yet we should see that they're trying. Okay, I'm looking up now. Just realizing that they're putting effort in. And man, your anger is going to just start to melt away. Like, no, they didn't load the dishwasher the way you think it should be loaded. But it was loaded and the dishes are clean. So what are you mad about? Well, it wasn't my way. Oh, okay. Are the clothes clean? Was the floor cleanish? Were the kids dressed? Well, yeah, but they didn't match. But were they dressed? Like one of my favorite pictures is of Josh, our youngest, and he was Tammy's mom and dad watched him a lot when he was young, 2, 3, 4 years old, and there's a picture of Josh on the count standing on the counter at Derringer's on Lewis, and he had dressed himself, and he was so proud. And he had boots and sweatpants and shorts over the sweatpants and like 2 or 3 shirts, and none of it matched. But he was so proud. So proud. And you could have criticized him for, you know, you don't wear boots and sweatpants. Some of y'all do that. It's okay, I guess. But, I mean, none of it went together. And you could have criticized him and said, wow, that doesn't go with that. You don't wear that with that or that and that. Or you could have just said, you know what? You did it by yourself. Good job. Right? But you don't expect perfection. When we stop expecting that perfection, anger starts to melt away. Anger starts to just go away when we stop expecting perfection. Being slow to anger doesn't mean we never get angry, but it means we try to only get angry about the things that matter. And what you learn as you get older is not that many things matter that much. Right, Byron? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't. I wish I could share with you the story that I've shared with a few of you that a doctor told me when I was 16 about a dog's mentality. I wish I could share that with you, but it's really probably not fully appropriate. But it's powerful and true, and it changed how I saw things. And I'll share it with you individually at some point if you want to know. But it did. It totally changed the way I looked at things. And I didn't get angry like I used to get angry. And it helped me tremendously to learn to be slower to anger. We cannot allow our anger to control us. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." I think I want to be slow. I think I think I'd rather be slow. I don't want to exalt those things that don't need exaltation. I don't want to lift up things that don't need to be talked about and don't need to have a spotlight shine on them. I think that we need to learn that the things that need the spotlight are the people who show the patience and the slowness to not allow themselves to get carried away in anger and therefore make problems bigger. You know, fires generally, when you stoke them, when they have more enough wood or enough fuel and enough air and a temperature, it's going to grow. But when you start to take those elements away, when you don't give it more fuel, when you don't give it more air, then that fire is going to go out. We need to learn to take away those elements and not add fuel to the fires. And you're going to see them just extinguish right before your eyes. Great understanding is realizing that nobody is perfect, including you. That sometimes we all make mistakes and sometimes we all have bad days. And when you go to a restaurant for lunch or for dinner, your server may be having a bad day. They have bad days too. Might be their own fault. Maybe they woke up late. Maybe they got a ticket on the way to work. Maybe they had an accident. Maybe they're struggling financially. Who knows what they're going through? But man, how many fires can we put out just in the way we respond to things? And not being so quick to be angry. We've all had our first day on the job. We've all had bad days on the job. We've all had bad days at home and at work. We've all woken up angry, as we say, on the wrong side of the bed. I like that moment where Jesus had that situation in front of him. And he said those powerful words. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Can you imagine the air that went out of that fire right then? Can you imagine how that changed the whole atmosphere in that place in that moment? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Let he who is without sin be the one to be angry about this. Let he who is without sin, you can deal with this situation however you see fit. Right? That's basically what he's telling them. I tell you what, the sinless one right here, grab your rock, start hurling. When we start to recognize that the people around us that we're dealing with are dealing with their own stuff at their own pace, in their own time, anger starts to just go away. We start to have empathy, maybe even sympathy. And it changes how we deal with people. I don't know any perfect people. I love you all, but none of you are perfect. And maybe some of you don't realize that, and I'm sorry if I ruined your perception. I don't expect you to act perfect because I don't act perfect. I want us to be, I believe the church is called to be a church that is slow to speak and slow to anger. That the church is called to be a church that's quicker to listen. Because when we're listening, we're trying to understand. And when we're slow with how we react, man, so many things change. So many things change. And I know there are so many things that we could get angry about. But so many of those things, what you find, they really don't matter. I want to pray against anger. I want to pray against anger. Not just anger in us, but anger in or against the church. Anger against those that we see doing the wrong thing, those that we see sinning. I think our anger is better focused when it's focused on sin and not sinners. When our anger should be focused on the acts and not the actors, right? It needs to be focused on getting rid of strife and anger and sin. And that's where our focus needs to be. We need to not focus on those who have done the things that have committed the sins, and focus on the sin itself. Because if we can get the sin itself dealt with, if we can get that removed, then everything changes for that sinner. Everything's different for that sinner. And when we can look at them and truly say, bless you, I know you're going through bad things. I know you're in a bad situation. I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated. You know what? The way you respond to somebody else's frustration can change their frustration. Can I encourage you, when you have that server, that waiter, waitress, whatever you want to call them, that you can tell is having a bad day, maybe tip them a little better. I know that's contradictory to how we want to do things, right? Because we want to, that part of us wants to leave the penny tip, right? To prove a point. Yeah, that's going to make it better. That's really going to fix it, right? Maybe you just said, okay, Lord, put it on my heart how much I can tip them to make their day different from now on. Maybe that cashier at Walmart or Aldi's or wherever it is that you shop, maybe you can't tip them, but you can smile. You can show Jesus through your eyes and through your smile. There are ways. Bless you. God loves you. There are ways. People are always going through battles. You have no idea what they are. They always are. How much of a difference can we make as His followers, as His believers, as His sons and daughters? Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come before You as Hosanna Church. And God, I pray against anger and against frustration. God, I pray against those that want to influence me to be angry like they are, that want to influence us to join them in their indignation. Lord, I pray that You would give us the words, or Lord, that You would help us to tame our tongue, to not get invited or involved into their anger and their situation. God, I pray that You would open our eyes to see the angry situations, and You would help us to calm them. That we would not be so quick to rush into those situations. God, slow to anger will help us, but it won't just help us. it'll help those around us. Father, I pray that this idea could even permeate throughout the church, not just Hosanna, but the Big C Church, that we would stop being angry at other churches for what they do and start being angry at the accuser that's involved in the situation. That our adversary is where our anger would be focused, and our adversary is not other people. Our adversary is the enemy, the devil, the Satan, Lucifer, whatever name you want to call him by. That is where we would focus our prayers. That is where we would focus our wrath, God. That we would learn to pray for the situations, over the situations. That our anger would melt away. And we would find joy and peace. Oh, Father, help us to help those of us that are prone to anger and prone to wrath. Help us, help those of us, God, who have been so quick to rush in, acting like a first responder, just ready to rush in at a moment's notice. Let our first response be to you, God. Father, I thank you that today you're calming wrath. That as we learn this as Hosanna Church, as we carry these ideas and these thoughts from James 1:19 with us into the future of Hosanna, Hosanna is going to avoid so many potential future conflicts, because one of us in a moment is going to say, let's slow down in this situation. Father, I thank you that you're leading us into the future to be the church that is loving, serving, giving, and growing as you've called us to be. Oh, God, I thank you. Be with us as we leave, God. Keep your hand upon us. If we find ourselves getting angry today, let one of these verses from your word, God, be a reminder to us. Slowest pro. Yes, God, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for peace. Everlasting peace. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray blessings upon your people, God, and we leave today. Bring us back here at 4 with peace, with understanding, with your Spirit guiding us into our board election process. Oh, God, the future is bright. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go have lunch, have a nap, see you here at 4, get this process over and done with, and then, man, it's good, it's a good day. It's a good day to be a believer that's not angry. Have an awesome day, love you guys. We will see you very soon. Woo! Amen.